Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
I feel so official. I even got like an intro video and everything. Woo! Well, good morning, and welcome to Youth Sunday. Thank you all so much for being here. I know we did this earlier, but just give another round of applause for everybody who helped out with VBS. It was just such an amazing week. And also, I just want to take this time and thank our youth leaders. They do so much for the youth, and I'm being told to bring it down like that. Okay. They do so much for the youth, and they always make sure the youth have everything they need. So if you see a youth leader, give them a pat on the back and tell them thank you so much. We appreciate them. So hello. My name is Ellie Tenike, if you didn't know. I will be a senior this year at high school, which is scary to say. My family and I moved here when I was about 10 months old, so I've truly grown up in this church and grown up in Pittsfield, and it's been amazing. So growing up, of course, I got to watch all of the Youth Sundays happen and got to see my brother and my sister, there you are, speak at their Youth Sunday. And so when I got the call to ask if I would give the message, it didn't seem like I was old enough, actually. But I said yes, so we can get through this together. Okay. Anyway, growing up as a pastor's kid, there are a few things that I think are unusual that my siblings and I did. First of all, we would have to get up what seemed like crazy early for my siblings and I. I mean, it was probably only 8 o'clock, but that was early when I was 4. So my mom would make us cookies to get us out of bed to kind of lure us back into church. Became a Sunday morning tradition for 11 years. Then another thing that I guess is unusual is my siblings and I would play persecution. We would pretend, we would take turns being Jesus, because that is what we talked about, that's what we learned. So a few things that are random that pastor's kids do, I guess, that isn't normal. We turned out okay, he's going to law school, she's a nurse, and I'm undecided, so. All right, so back to church. When I was asked to speak, I immediately thought of what I wanted to talk about. I didn't really know. Nothing came to mind immediately. And then I heard this song. And it's a song, Gratitude. And if you know it, it's a beautiful song. It's amazing. But if you don't, you should look it up and listen to it. But the chorus is about worship and how we have nothing else good enough for God except for our song and our praise. Now, I love worship. I love singing. It's a part of my life that truly puts me at ease and gives me peace. Singing and praising is something that helps me through everything else in life. So I wanted to speak about worship because it means so much to me. And I learned so much more than I thought I would. I mean, I thought I knew what worship was. I thought that worship was singing. I thought that worship was praising and lifting our hands and clapping, which sometimes we get, sometimes we don't, but it's okay. So I have only 3 points for you today. They all start with the same letter, too. Because the bald man's coming back pretty soon, so I figured I would get you guys back in routine. Oh, he's watching on the stream. I'm going to get yelled at when I get home. I'm just kidding. So I work, it said on the screen, very official, I work at a boutique called Reap and Sew on the Square. I started working there the summer of my sophomore year, so this will be my third summer working there. And when I started this job, I thought that it was just going to be about hanging clothes, tagging clothes, steaming clothes, and taking pictures in clothes, which I was all about because I love clothes. But what I thought it like it turned out to be something completely different. Yes, those are all parts of my job, but the best part of my job is the relationship that I make with other people, with customers that come in. New or old, doesn't matter. I get to make a relationship with everybody who walks in that door. That is the best part of my job. Singing and clapping and praising and lifting our hands to the Lord is a part of worship. But the best part about worship is the relationship that we get to have with Jesus Christ. So, because worship is more than just music, worship is a lifestyle. So I've got three questions, actually. My first one, well, what is worship? There are many different Hebrew words that describe the word worship. There is one about lifting your hands in praise. And as my dad was reading me the list and telling me what everything meant, there was one that stuck out to me and like I heard. And it was the word barak, which means to kneel with a connotation of bowing down, to surrender. So worship means to surrender. So worship is not just singing songs and lifting and clapping. Worship can be a way of life. If we surrender our hearts and our lives to the Lord, it is a way of life. Just like selling clothes is a part of my job, singing is a part of worship. But the best part is relationship. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." We are told right there to offer our lives to God in worship. That is worship, is offering our lives to the Lord. Worship takes place when we know who God is, a loving and a wonderful Father. Worship takes place when we know who we are. We are sinners. Every day, sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. When we truly understand that, we truly understand the great gift that God has given us, the gift of Jesus, so that we could have relationship with him, worship becomes a lifestyle. Our hearts have to be in the right place of worship. If our hearts are yielded to God and our hearts are open and welcoming to God to come in and change our lives, but our actions don't do anything to prove that. If we're not singing and not praising and not going out and spreading the word, but our hearts are there, it doesn't work. Vice versa. If we sing and we go through the motions and we stand here on Sunday mornings and we sing the songs because that's what we're told we have to do, but our hearts are hardened and not open and welcome to the Lord, we won't experience true worship. My father was contacting him. Wow. Surprise! Can't do anything on my own. Matthew 15:8 says, Jesus, this is a serious part in the message too. Gosh, Dad, just rough times. All right. Matthew 15:8 says, Jesus says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." When we're going through the motions, right? Honor him with our lips, but their hearts are far from him. Jesus calls that worshiping in vain. If our hearts aren't yielded to God, we can't possibly experience true worship. To worship is to surrender to the Lord and having our actions prove that, because worship is a way of life. If you get anything from this message today, get that worship can be a way of life. All right, question number two. When do we worship? Well, Ellie, we worship from 8 to 8:15 and 10:30 to 10:45. Or on special Sundays like today, 10 to 10:15. That's... no. We are invited to worship at all times. At all times. Through the good and the bad and the ugly. We are invited to worship. And I say invited because we don't have to. We don't have to worship. But again, when we understand who God is and who we are, the choice to worship becomes pretty easy. 1 Chronicles 16:23 says, "Sing to the Lord all the ark, proclaim his salvation day after day." So when? Day after day. Sometimes our emotions can take us away, right? It's really easy to get caught up in our emotions. I know this better than anyone, I think. But when things happen, we have a choice. We can choose to stay in that mindset of worship and to praise God and surrender everything to him, or we can let our emotions take us away. Psalm 34:1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." At all times. So through the good and the bad and everything in between. I play three sports. I play volleyball, basketball, and I run track. And let me tell you, running with hurdles in the way caused a lot of opportunities for me to fall. So I've done that many times, and playing three sports, also, there's going to be failure in three sports. So my basketball season this year ended kind of on a low note for me. We were down in Roxana, and if you know where Roxana is, I'm sorry. It's about 2.5 hours away. It's a terrible drive. So we lost by 5 points. We were ahead by 12 at half. So already, I was mad. And of course, it was the gym's fault that we lost. That gym just made us lose. So I got the opportunity to go back 2 days later to compete in a three-point competition. When I stepped in the gym, I had this negative feeling already because the gym, we lost. It was bad. So I was warming up and I was shooting, and during warm-ups, I was making everything, it seemed like, which was very unusual for me. But I every spot I went to on the three-point line, I would make. So I felt pretty confident. I was shooting to make it, and I was. So I sat down on the bench. I was one of the last shooters, and I watched all of these amazing athletes shoot and make and make and make and make and make and make. It seemed like they did not miss. So I got nervous, and I got anxious, and all of a sudden, my mindset went from shooting to make it versus shooting to not miss. There's a big difference. It was finally my turn, and I was ready, I thought, and so I went, and I picked up the first basketball, squared up to the basket, and all I could hear was my heartbeat. I could not focus on the basket. I forgot all of the form that I've been taught for years and years and years, because my nerves got the best of me. This is embarrassing. I ended up only making 2 or 3 baskets, which is the worst I had ever done in all of my practicing, in all of my preparing for this event. I had failed. I didn't want to worship. I had just failed. Now, my obstacles in life might look a little bit different than yours. I mean, maybe missing a three-point competition isn't a big deal in your life. But to me, in that moment, it was everything. I did not want to worship, but we are told to worship through the good and the bad at all times. We are reminded to stay in a mindset of worship. So when do we worship? At all times. What does worship bring us exactly? Like, we are told to worship, but what does it do for us? Well, a lot. I run track, and it was to the end of our season, and it was at the Hannibal meet. If you know track, you know the Hannibal meet is a really big meet that our coaches look at to see who's going to run what at sectionals to try and advance onto state. So again, the pressure's on, and I get nervous, and my event that I had been working all season for was the 300 hurdles. I was preparing, I was warming up and getting ready, and all of a sudden, I got nervous again. The nerves that controlled me at my three-point competition had come back, and I was anxious, and I couldn't think about anything else about except my nerves. So I went to God. I found a secluded place where nobody else was warming up, and I went to God. I said, "God, I am nervous. I am anxious. I don't know what to do. I need your help." It was my time to go and run now. So I lined up at the start line, got set in my blocks, and for the first time I've ever raced, I was at peace. When I went down to start, I was at peace. I ended up winning that race. I ended up setting my PR, and I ended up running under state qualifying time. But when I think about that, I don't think of those three accomplishments. I think of the peace that God brought me. When I think of that race, I think of the peace and the overwhelming joy that I felt because God was with me. So when do we worship? Always, at all times. All right, point number three, we're almost there. Why? Why do we worship? Well, we worship to grow closer to God. We worship for relationship with Him. We worship because God is deserving of our worship and praise, right? We worship because there is nothing that we possess, that we have, God needs. Nothing. But God wants something. God wants a relationship with us. God wants us to go to Him. God wants our worship and our praise. God wants us to submit our lives to Him and to live for Him. God sent His perfect, perfect Son down to earth so that we could have a relationship with Him, so that our sins would be washed away. Think about that. God gave the best gift of all so that all of us could have the choice to live a life of worship. When we truly understand that and we truly believe that, worship becomes a lifestyle. If the thought of worship as a lifestyle is foreign or scary to you, I encourage you to go to God about that. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I encourage you to surrender your heart and experience the great love that our Savior brings us. So why do we worship? We worship because we have nothing else. We worship because that is our way to go to God. We worship because worship is a lifestyle. Worship band can come up. If you'll stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the good and the bad, and that You are there through it all. I thank You for Your Son, and through Him that we may have relationship with You. God, I pray if anyone doesn't know You today, that they would open your hearts and accept Your love. God, You are perfect, and we are far from perfect. But thank You for loving us, and thank You for giving us the opportunity to know You through our worship. And I pray that worship as a lifestyle becomes easy and a piece of and a thought that for everybody in this room today. Thank You for Your Son and for all that You've done for us. We love You, and in Your Son's name I pray. Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.